I will start with a very, very interesting, unusual exercise. I'd like you to go in a special place in your life, in your heart, and imagine that you're writing your own obituary, your own eulogy, something that will be said at your funeral, right? It's a strange exercise. True? Nu e așa? E ciudat. Să ne scriem propriul nostru necrolog sau pagina de viață. You know, what you will write. Cum ai vrea să fii? How would you like to be remembered? What are the things that you would like to, you know, people to remember you and to say about you and to, in other words, what do you want to leave behind? What legacy, what inheritance? So, are you making the exercise? Are you working on it? I put together something on myself, so don't be surprised. He came into this world in November 15, 1958, and passed away peacefully earlier today. But then I left ... because I have no date, right? Once he was a son, a brother, a husband, a father, a grandfather, a friend. The roles that fit him the most was pastor, educator, poet, dreamer, and change maker. He lived intentionally with clear values of Christian life and with gratitude, hard work, and perseverance, and with a firm belief that if we paid forward instead of paying it back, the world will be a better place. He tried to make a conscious impact in everything he did. Every step of the journey, he tried to live a life for the glory of God. Are you writing yours? Are you working on yours? See, my whole point tonight, I took the spot for my son. He was out of the city, out of the area for a couple of days, and he said, "Dad, can you cover for me? Can you do something?" And I tried with Andrew Pope. I said, "Andrew, can you, you know, you graduated, we have a special gift for you, can you come, can you share?" And Andrew turned me down and he said, "Frate Dorin, I'm very busy at work, I'm sorry, I can't." So here I am, right? Put on the spot. But I'm thinking, you know, my whole point is we need to live a life that is legacy-oriented. This is my main idea. This is the most important idea of the short message. a life that is legacy oriented. We need to keep in mind how our actions impact others, and we need to be very mindful of those actions. But when we hear legacy, we think of something that they will say at your funeral, at your memorial. I think we need to change that. We need to think legacy-oriented now, during our life, in the context of life, not in the context of death. The dictionary definition says legacy is something that is passed on from the past, from a predecessor, from an ancestor to the in the context of death. But how will it be to live a life so much aware or so conscious about the legacy you leave behind? What legacy do you leave behind? So I have one scripture that could deschideți cu mine, open up 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. How many layers of discipleship do we see here? How many layers? How many seasons of discipleship do you see? Paul, right? Paul is number one. He writes to Timothy, number two. Reliable men, number three, who are capable, who are able, who are trained to teach others, number four. Four levels of discipleship, passing on the legacy, right? So definitely God has a purpose in your life, in our life, in my life. Of course, we need to live our life asking God all the time, what is your purpose for me? What is your call for me? What is that you want me specifically to be living, to be doing in my life? That's how you start living a legacy-oriented life. I lived in Romania for 33 years. I was 33 when I came here. Now I lived in US another 29, almost 30 years, right? So you can add, you can do a little math, and you can realize that by November 15, 1958, I will be, how old? 63, very old, you know? No. Of course, I like the way Emilia Kupcha said on the General Assembly, we have two Moses. Yeah, she was perfectly right. One is a little bit younger than the other Moses, but we have two Moses. Do we have two Joshuas? I think we have more than two. We have a couple of Joshuas. Amen? Are you afraid to say amen? Don't be. But we need to live a life, you know, legacy-oriented life. Number one, what's your purpose? What's God's purpose for you? Live life with a purpose. You know, be culturally intelligent. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Amen? Suntem în lume, dar nu suntem din lume. John 17, 16. In the world, but not of the world. When we came here, we were culturally, we lived what is called culture shock. We were culturally shocked. I spoke with fratele Marici când am venit și l-am întrebat, cum ești, cum sunteți, și pe dânsul și pe sora, pe soția dânsului. Și zice, de la americani am învățat, I learned from the American to say I'm okay. And put on the American smile, also the Romanian smile. I came here in 92. I was at the university in Virginia Beach, at Regent University, Pat Robertson University. And I was in the elevator, and a student, an American student, in the elevator with me. We were going to the fourth floor, and he said, how are you today? With my Romanian mind, with my Romanian understanding, I said, wow, this stranger is interested in my life. He wants to know how I'm doing today. So imagine, I said, I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning, I took my kids to the school, then I worked at the church part-time, then from the part-time I came to the school, I have classes, and I just saw that he's changing, his face is changing. I saw that he's looking at me confused, and he was like, I was attacking him or something. I was keeping with my broken English. I was keeping giving him the account of the day because I translated that he wants to know exactly how I am doing today. So I was telling him how I am doing today, right? Culture shock. We're so biased. We're so judgmental. In 93, on Monday night, 8 o'clock in the night, my best friend, the Indian, is coming here from time to time, Sampat. He was a doorman at Founders Inn, the hotel, the conference center for Pat Robertson. He called me, he phoned me, he said, Ovidiu, my first name is Ovidiu, by the way. Doreen is my middle name. I don't use it, Doreen, with the American because it's like a girl name, Doreen. Especially if you say Doreen. It's a long E. But it's Ovidiu. Nobody can say Ovidiu anyway. They all butcher my name. He said, Ovidiu, come quick. Take Anna, take the kids, 5 kids. Come quick. I said, Sampat, what's going on? 8 o'clock, Monday night. What do you want? No. Take your family and come. Somebody's here waiting for you. I said, no, I'm not coming. Who's there waiting for me? There are no Romanians in the area. No Romanians at the university at that time. So who's there? No, come quick. Somebody's here waiting for you. Then I said, okay. I took my wife, our 5 children. And they were 12, 11, 10, 9, and 6, right? The 5 children. I took them. And guess what? In the lobby, there was this beautiful couple, this beautiful family, Sabina and Wolbrand, and Rachel Wolbrand, saying, we heard that there is a Romanian family here at the university, so we wanted to know you, to meet you and to pray for you and to give you a hug. We spent a couple of hours, and after a while, Richard, I think at that time he was 80, 83, or he died in 2001, he died when he was 93, so. He said, can you walk me by, help me, and I need to hold your arm, and can you cross the courtyard with me, so help me. My wife will stay more with your wife, with the kids. They were telling stories, beautiful stories for the kids, laughing, praying with us. Beautiful time. And he said, I need to go back to my room, so help me. And as we were crossing the courtyard, late at night, probably 10 o'clock, and he was just dragging his feet, and he was very weak. And I said, this is the time, this is the moment. I'm going to ask Wulbrand a very important question. Guess what? With one ear in this country, one ear on my American belt, I said, Frate Wulbrand, Brother Wulbrand, I just came to this country. I was immersed into the culture, into the language, into the everything here. And I said, everything in America, it seems to me, it's superficial and artificial. I was proud of making that observation, judging, very critical of the American culture, of the American people. Everything seems to me to be artificial, and I was referring to the lights and everything, but everything, it was wood, not like in Romania. In Romania, everything is stone and bricks, right? Here, it's just wood with a lot of lights. Dacă iei luminile jos, rămân așa, niște clădiri de lemn. What do you think? I said, what do you think, Brother Wulbrand? What's your idea? My observation, I said, it's artificial and superficial. Nothing. He didn't say anything. We crossed the courtyard. We reached to the door at his hotel room. I said, oh my goodness, he didn't hear me. Maybe he's not hearing. I didn't shout it loud enough. But then something happened. Before saying goodbye, before saying goodnight, he turned to me. He said, listen, young man, everything in this world without God is artificial and superficial. I cross around the globe. I travel around the globe. I go to country, to another country. I'm coming from Middle East. I'm going to China. He was 80, 85 or whatever. He was very old, but he was still traveling. And he said, believe me, everything in this world without God is artificial and superficial. But he said, what do you care? Look for the people of God. Look for the holy man, for the holy people of God. You will find them here in America. God has a church in here. God has people in here. God has children here. And he gave me David, Psalm 16, verse 3, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. all my delight. Sfinții care sunt în țară, oamenii evlavioși sunt toată plăcerea mea. He said, don't worry about artificial and superficial. Look for the people of God. You will find them. If you look for them, you'll find them. If you look for artificial and superficial, you'll find artificial and superficial. So live your life with a purpose that God has for you. Don't be fascinated or captivated or by artificial and superficial. You need to see the world and you need to see the people the way God is seeing. Number two, live life with empathy. Live life with compassion. Be compassionate. Be loving. The love of Christ. Empathy and compassion takes you on a completely different dimension in life, because empathy is a value that we need to live by. How we interact with people, when we see a person, we don't see their struggles, their life experiences, their trauma. We don't see what they were exposed to and what they went through in life, right? They could have experiences on their emotional or physical, or unless they share it with you, like I shared on the elevator, but was not the proper way, right? It's very interesting in Ezekiel 3. Oh, it's beautiful. It says, the Lord, Ezekiel chapter 3, the Lord told Ezekiel, eat this scroll. Mănâncă sulul ăsta. Eat it. Then I will send you to prophesy for my people. He was in Babylon. He was a slave. The people of God were enslaved in Babylon, in exile, right? He said, I ate the scroll, am mâncat sulu, și sulu era dulce ca miere, sweet like honey, sweet like honey. And watch this, it's so powerful, it's so beautiful. He said, I went to the exiles, to the people in exile, to the slaves. They were working at the river Kebar. The river Kebar. And this is what he says. He had a scroll. He had the message. He had something from the Lord. But he said, I lived among them. I walked among them for 7 days without saying a word. You have to live among them. You may say, I'm not in your shoes. I know it's very difficult to walk with those shoes. I don't pretend I understand you, but at least try to live among them. Don't start prophesying. Don't start jumping up and down. Don't start impressing people in any way, shape or form. Live among them. Stay with them where they are, where they hurt. When they are depressed and broken and disillusioned, discouraged, confused, stay with them there. Then after 7 days, you can prophesy. He prophesied after 7 days. 7 days he said nothing, but he lived among them. He lived with them. Tell them, I'm not in your position. I'm not able to walk in your shoes, But I can understand that those shoes are very difficult to walk in. You know, we all make mistakes, but we are not mistakes. God can use our mistakes and turn them around. We are not mistakes. God is not making mistakes. When God made you, He was not making a mistake. Yes, I did a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of stupid things. I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. But God can use even those mistakes and turn them around and telling me, hey, you're not that mistake that you made. You're not that moment. I have a plan for you. I have something beautiful for you. I have something so special for you. And number three, and I'll get close to the end. We need to live on collaborative success, or let me put it differently. We need to live in the community, and we need to pay attention that God is placing people on your path in order to bless you, to form you, to shape you. Paul, Timothy, reliable man, others, four levels, four categories. God is putting somebody in your path, an American, a Chinese, a Romanian, an old lady, a young man. But God is bringing somebody into your path to bless you. God brought you here in Emmanuel. Emmanuel is far from being perfect. But Emmanuel has a beautiful story of broken people who love each other, stay together, live together, and praise God together, and walk with God together. And we are a blessing for each other, and we can help each other. You know, for me to succeed, do you need to fail? No, no. It's not how many likes I have. It's not how many subscribers I have. It's not how many followers I have. No. It's the fact that God wants to make me a blessing and wants to make you a blessing and wants to bless you using others. Others here at Emmanuel. Others at work. Others at your school, at your job. Is the complexity of our interpersonal relationship, the quality of our networks, the trust, the bonding within those networks that can be measured at the interpersonal level, family level, community level, church level, the body of Christ level. He placed us in the body of Christ. You're not just coming here because you like worship or because you like food or because you like the community. God placed you in the body of Christ. And in this body, you will be a blessing and others will be a blessing for you. And we will collaboratively, corporately grow and succeed. But I will close with this. I'll close with this, and this is my final thought. Then we will have a prayer for the people who live in North Carolina. I heard that more people are living, being there for worship and for prayers and for the special event. So we will pray for you, and also we will sing either the same song, Lucian, or another one. But I will close with this. The secret to success, please note this. If you remember only this line, I didn't waste my time or your time here tonight. The secret to success, it's hidden in your daily routine. In your daily routine. So what is your daily routine? Watch your daily routine. What is it? Do you have that place where you pray, where you study, when you talk with the Lord? When the Lord is talking to you, what is it that you do every day? Other than watching TV every day, or watch your Facebook every day, watch your Instagram every day. Your success is in your daily routine. You decide to go deeper with God. God decides to broaden you and your ministry and your potential and your development. You just decide to go deeper with God. And God is going to open doors for you. And you will see in front of you a lot of opportunities and blessings. But God is bringing people into your life. Like, for example, I said that I'm going to close with this, but it's true in a sense. I'm closing. Acts chapter 18. A young man full of power, full of Holy Spirit, full of scripture, came to Ephesus. He was a Jew from Alexandria, full of zeal for the gospel, and he was preaching. But then in the synagogue, there was a couple, was a family, older people, people with more experience, people with more wisdom, Aquila and Priscilla, and watch the young Apollo from Alexandria shining, preaching, exuberant, full of zeal, full of the Holy Spirit. And they approach him at the end and said, Apollo, can you come to our home? Can you come? Can you spend time in our home? We would like to invite you. And then as Apollo said yes and accepted the invitation, they were talking to him. Apollo, you love the Lord. You're preaching the gospel with such a zeal. You're full with the Holy Spirit. Apollo, you need to go deeper. If you go deeper, God will broaden the road, the ministry for you. And guess what? Soon enough, he was called in Corinth, to go in Corinth and to minister there. You see, God is placing people into your life. A lady, an old lady, an old gentleman, a family, a simple family from Romania, somebody from the Asian community, somebody from the Mexican. Don't be biased. Don't be like Druhora, artificial and superficial. Look for the holy people of God. Believe me, they are beautiful people in this country, people of God. Amen? Keep this in mind. Please keep this in mind. The secret to success lies in your daily routine. Develop holy routines. Develop something beautiful that will build your legacy. Live life as a legacy-oriented life, that you can work with God and God can work with you now, not just something that beautifully will be said at your funeral, at your memorial. Live now with God, this great, amazing adventure.